Well, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. It is an honor and just a blessing to be here today. I got to meet your new pastor just about a month ago. And I think we hit it off very well. He took me, as any good Lutheran pastor would do, to a place where we could eat. And it worked, huh? So we got along real well. We have a lot in common. And I'm sure over the next many, many years together that we'll get to know even more about each other and our families, and really share that bond of Christ with each other. There is no doubt today that you will spend a great deal of time in front of the baptismal font. People will be laying their hands on you and focusing on really what you're called about, to preach, rightly preach, the Holy Scriptures and administer the sacraments of baptism and communion. And I started thinking, is there any maybe advice that I could give? And what could help as you're sitting there pondering, what kind of advice is coming my way? And as you sent the readings over to me, and I was sitting back meditating upon the scriptures, it occurred to me that probably some of the best advice that you may not have heard before from the pulpit is advice that comes straight from the Apostle Paul himself. And it's wonderful advice that sometimes escapes us. Paul focuses on his letter to the Philippians today that we need to work, and it truly is a work, to keep and maintain the unity with all Christians in the world so that they can see the peace we have in God. And I thought it was a very fitting reading, and I want to preach on that today. This unity, the fact that how Paul really addresses the Philippians, this congregation that he's writing to. And there's some great points in there. The first is how he treats these brothers and sisters in Christ. There's no doubt that Paul had a great relationship with the church in Philippi. But he goes out of his way in our text today to really gently approach his people. And it's necessary in the church. Listen to these words that Paul uses. My translation that we used today was from the NIV. A little different from the reading, but you'll get the gist. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, it's all the Christians there. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. And later in the verse, he calls them his friends. What a beautiful way to start out addressing. Even if you have to do some correction, what a wonderful way to start out to address your congregation. It's love. It's compassion. And Paul's going out of his way to talk about the joy, his crown. When he refers to the crown, this would have been a crown not like a king wore, but a crown that would have been worn as someone who just won a prize, maybe in an athletic event of some type. So it's not that we lord over our congregation. It's that they're our gem. It's our beauty, our wonder. It's the prize at the end of the run. These are the people that you're going to be ministering to. We just got back, my wife and I, from a cruise. We went on a cruise when we were married 20 years ago, and this is our second cruise. So maybe in another 20 years, honey, we might get to go on another one. I was amazed. 3,000 people walking around out in the middle of the ocean. And you know, when they wanted people to do something, it was always done very gently, very kindly, and everybody listened. It's kind of the opposite as I was becoming a new parent 20 years ago, as to how I thought, well, you know, in order to raise kids up, you got to be stern, you got to be adamant. It's not true. There are times for that. And there will be times in the church when that is necessary. But for the most part, correcting, rebuking, just leading the flock along, really comes out of the love and compassion that is deep within your heart. And you can feel this just pouring from Paul's letter here, how much love he has for these people. So as you come across different obstacles in the church, I implore you, most of the time, handle them with compassion, with love. Paul immediately goes on and talks about a little bit of a problem. Apparently, there are two women in the church, Euodia, and I always pronounce it Syntyche. There is a problem. It's not a doctrinal problem, or else Paul would have just said, you're wrong and you're right, or maybe you're both wrong. It's just a problem, and it's causing great divisions in the church. Isn't it funny how the church is so much like a family? I find it peculiar. Divisions in families, look around you. They're all over. We are sinful people. We find all kinds of reasons to get upset and be mad and hold grudges for years, sometimes decades. Sometimes we hold on to them for a lifetime. Paul's begging with these two ladies. Put aside your differences and focus on that unity that we have in Christ. He even calls on one of the helpers in the church, perhaps a deacon, I don't know, but it's the yoke fellow, the helper. Help these ladies out. Let's focus on the things we have in common, the things that bind us together, the things that really draw us together is Christ. In the church, in the congregation, we have divisions. Sometimes they seem petty. Sometimes they seem very, very, very serious. There is an old, for any of you that study military tactics out there, one famous military tactic is divide and conquer. You got a big group, you don't know how you're ever going to defeat them, just divide them up into two smaller groups. They're never as powerful as they were together. Conquer them one at a time. Satan does the same thing in the church. Not just here, not just at Lighthouse and Freedom, but throughout the world. How can I divide you? What can I possibly get people to do that you would hold a grudge for years and years and years? Because the more division I can create, the easier it is to cause problems. If you haven't heard it from the pulpit before, let me be the first to say, and I'll say it again, Christ is one. Christ is victorious. Satan can only be a splinter and he can only cause things to fester. It's over. Put aside your differences, as difficult as that could possibly be, and focus on the love we have for each other, the love we have in the unity of Jesus Christ, and be on the winning team. Don't let those differences divide you. So focus as a pastor on the unity of Christ. Let those things come together. Let them bond us. And Paul says, well, I understand this can be difficult. I understand that certain things just really heat us up. So let's focus on things in life that will help us. Let's fix our mind on those things that will help us to really achieve true forgiveness of others in our lives. I love this list he lays out here. Don't be anxious. Yeah, easier said than done, huh? Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, pray to God. Whatever is true. I want you to think about that. Well, what's true? Pilate asked the same question. What is truth? Jesus is truth. The Scriptures are truth. Focus on them. Pick them up. Read them. Think about it. Let it just get in your mind. It's amazing what the Holy Spirit will do with His Word when you have it in your mind and you're thinking about it. I can't tell you the number of times I've had a problem, and I don't know how I'm going to get through it. It's really bugging me. It's causing me not to sleep at night. Well, let me just open up the Scriptures and read something before I go to bed, and you read it, and wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. A little divine intervention there to help you sleep well at night. Don't be anxious. Think about what's true. Think about what's noble. We don't even use that word too much anymore. How about things that are honorable, things that are to be revered? Think about baptism. Think about the holy sacrament, the sacrament of Holy Communion. The eating of the body and blood of Jesus Christ and how it fills your soul. It nourishes you. It prepares you for that long week. It erases everything that happened the previous week. beautiful. It is noble. It is to be revered. It is wonderful. Think about that. Whatever is, I think in our reading today, it said just. In the NIV it says right. Maybe righteous is a proper translation. Think about those things that are righteous. The things that, well, if God were looking down upon you and He saw you, He would say, well done, good and faithful servant, because He is. Think about things that are righteous. Things that are pure. You know, we've gotten so far away, and it's just been in the last, maybe 100 years, of really focusing on the purity of the bride. The bride in a wedding. The purpose of wearing white, the purity that I, as a bride, give myself to my husband, and as a husband, I give myself to you. Just while we were eating, a story was shared with me that, it doesn't even take a couple hours and you start sharing illustrations, but a story was told to me about a wedding where they went to where the pastor used chocolate and peanut butter. And he says, you know, chocolate is really good, and I really like peanut butter, but something magical happens when you put these two things together. They turn into a Reese's peanut butter cup, and for that pastor, that was magical. That was something there that just really, really shook him. And I started thinking, that's the focus of a wedding. It's not two people that just happen to be living under one roof, but something changes. The two become one, and they're bonded together to be something even greater than they were when they were separated. Think about what is pure. The church, this congregation, should remain pure. You are the bride of Christ. You must keep your body pure. You must keep the things in your life pure as best as you're able. Certainly we'll fail. And when we do, we beg for forgiveness. It's granted. And we go out and we try again. This time maybe a little harder. But as that bride, remain pure. Watch what you put into your mind. Watch what you see on TV and what you read. Keep the thoughts pure. Paul continues, whatever is lovely, think about these things. What's lovely? Put yourself in God's shoes for a minute. As difficult and impossible as that really is. What does He consider to be lovely and beautiful? Think about those things. I'm sure if you let your imagination stray for just a little bit, you'll see so many wonderful, beautiful things out there. Think about those things. Whatever's admirable, of good repute, fix yourself. I was reading in a commentary, I think it was by Hendrickson. He said for this word admirable here, fix your mind upon the loftiest of things. Those things that are truly just absolutely wonderful and beautiful in God's eyes. Admirable. If it's excellent and praiseworthy, think about those things. And as a pastor, you've got to guide the people to always concentrate on those things. Because when you start thinking in a godly way, you start living in a godly way. And that's what Paul's focusing on here. Stay away from, don't worry, just forgive those people that have caused you divisions. Don't think about those things. Think about these things. These wonderful, beautiful, admirable, noble, right things. And you will start to actually live in a godly way. For when the mind concentrates on those godly things, we act differently. And that's the peace. That's the peace that starts to percolate out of our pores and out of our soul and out of everything we do, every action. People look at you and say, you're different. Why are you so different? Because I have the peace of God in my soul. And I'm pretty happy about that. As a pastor, you shepherd your sheep in and you preach that word and you administer the sacraments, but there's so much more to keeping a family that is here together. And not letting Satan have any kind of foothold. Kick him out the door. Paul ends his text by saying, practice. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice. Our children all play musical instruments. And we obviously have a very good organist over here that I'm just blown away by. You have been blessed by the Lord in your playing. And you have been blessed to be able to hear that every week. So once you finally got that piece of music down, once you worked and you did it slowly and you finally got it down and it sounded good, guess what? Do it again. Our daughters play that trumpet and they play it slowly. Dun, dun, dun. And then finally, they finally get those notes and they're all coming right and the mouth is positioned just correct. Boom! I did it, Mom. Great. Go do it again. Practice. Once you have this mind of the Lord in place, this union with Christ, and you're starting to act differently, keep acting differently. Keep acting as though you are different, because you are. You got to live out your faith in the world. You can't keep it hidden up. You got to evangelize. You got to tell people about Jesus. But I'll tell you one thing. The thing that turns a lot of people off most is when they see how you act. If it doesn't mesh up with the things that you say, turns them off quick. Live a good godly life. Now, I've been addressing all this to your new pastor, but in the Lutheran Congregations for Missions for Christ, we are the priesthood of all believers, which means, as my kids like to say, when you point your finger at me, there's three more pointing back at you. Not if I point like that. I have to act this way too. This is my calling as well. But you, as the congregation, Paul's letter is written to the congregation, to you as well. Don't let divisions tear you up. Don't let things tear your pastor up. You'll see it before he does, more than likely. You need to have him concentrate on lofty things, admirable things, right things. Let his mind fix on the Holy Scriptures. Give him assistance. One of the best things I saw when I walked in here today was Pastor Mike was sitting at the table, and I don't think he was wanted in the kitchen. That's a good thing. For him, and possibly for you, I haven't experienced this cooking yet. That's a good thing. Don't dump everything on the pastor and his family. Be a part of the congregation. Really make this a family. You know, in a family, you got some people that are they're really good at doing one thing, but they're not great at something else. And then the brother or the aunt or the uncle comes in and says, you know what, I'm pretty good at that. I'll fix up your lawn here and seed it if you come over and fix my computer. Good. That's how a family operates. Let Mike excel at those things he does well, and then help him and his family out. And his children, everything, everyone that's there. You've just welcomed not a new man into your life, but you've got a whole new family to be a part of this big family at Greenford. Act like a family. Treat each other well. Speak highly of one another. Let him administer the sacraments and preach to you the Word of God. And pray for him, always. And this will be a thriving, wonderful, beautiful family in Jesus Christ. I sense great things for this congregation, and I am honored to be a part of it today. May the Lord be with you all. Amen.